Four mockingbirds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and an alrighty then. Fact Daddy Experience, DVR Podcast. So, I want to talk about Serial Experiments Lane.
Just, hell yeah, you know what that's about.
The angle I'm going for here, and by the way, it'll be 20 years next year in the summer that Serial Experiments Lane was released, so fuck all the spoiler alert things, because, the shit's gonna be 20. We're living in an age of exponential information exchange, which would mean that, it's okay if you didn't hear about it, and, it's okay also if you don't like it or think it's pretentious and it's bullshit. Me, myself, what a construct that I deem myself, which is of course always on a cellular level as well as a level of consciousness changing, good for bad, that's really up for someone else to decide. Nonetheless, this construct believes Serial Experiments Lane is fucking awesome, okay? And this is going to be the principal reason why, and you can refer to this concept frequently and at your own leisure. But the thrust that makes Serial Experiments Lane so awesome is that basically it's a representation of the individual, who basically has multiple experiences of an overlapping self emerging multitudes of reality, both emerging and retracting from one source of being. So basically what I'm saying is that you have what we could call a fixed identity, in this instance Lane, and the show is called Serial Experiments Lane, because Lane has multiple experiences of herself as they are emerging and from different realities, and then those different realities merge, and those multitudes of reality both emerge and retract back to Lane, and ultimately Lane's greater source. So I find that very interesting, because the notion of a fixed identity, which is attached to ego, You see it in every story ever, but the way that Lane operates is totally different, in my opinion. And it makes it a fascinating story to see how we can attempt to give this designation via the name Lane to an individual who is neither individual or many, but both. And then beyond that. So, first episode of Serial Experiments Lane isn't titled an episode, it's titled a layer. I think it's titled a layer because it deals with a larger subject matter. So, I'm going to go through the names of the 13 episodes, and I'm not sure that if during this podcast I'll cover all 13 episodes. I might only cover up to 5. We'll see what happens. But basically, I think that the episodes are called layers because of the configuring, reconfiguring, dissolution, reconstitution, construction, destruction, death and rebirth of a given form within a larger framework of a macrocosmic form. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's very simple. You're made out of billions and billions and billions of cells. These cells configure, reconfigure, dissolve, reconstitute, construct, get destroyed, die, and are reborn within the form that's called you, because you are the larger framework of a macrocosmic form, which means you are the large singular notion of one form made out of all of these billions of other forms, right? So you're the starting point, so interject yourself in your Lane, okay? And that emergence I talked about in the beginning, sorry again, was its origin, in my point of view, or the way I see it, is that we are thoughts and forms that generate thoughts by interacting with thoughts that are in the other forms. And the illusion of a constant self, or constancy itself, underlies the reality of infinite and perpetual change. The process itself is of itself, so it needs no knowledge of itself to be itself. Fire will never burn itself, sword will never cut itself, the wind will never blow itself away. Knowing or knowledge of the self as it relates to everything else is almost an impossibility. But knowing without knowing of the self is the most viable possibility that exists. So, episode 1 of Serial Experiments Lane begins with a suicide of a girl named Chisa Yamada, or Yamada. Pronunciation varies, and sometimes I fuck it up. And that's inevitable, and I would beg for forgiveness, but it's not relevant at this stage. So, one of the things that she says in this episode via very weird liquid LSD type looking screen is, "I don't need to stay in a place like this." And then it said later, "If you stay in a place like this, you might not be able to connect." You see, at some point, that the background dissolves and all appears as shadow and light. I think the implication here being all forms in one way or another are a reflection of the void, and the void is a reflection of the form. If you didn't have the space, the form wouldn't have a background. Meaning the form is actually the background, and the background is actually the form. Because without the background, the form has no presence, and thereby we can't distinguish that it's form. Okay, so you have that visual, and then you find out in an opening scene in the school where we're introduced to Lane, and there's these other girls. One of them's crying, and, you know, Lane seems clueless, and pretty much they're saying to her, this girl, Chisa, sent emails post her suicide, post the end of her life. So that's kind of crazy. And as you see Lane with herself, her reality seems to dissolve. And then the question pops up on the screen, what's it like when you die? When Lane first logs in the computer asks, who are you? And then Lane gets an email herself from Chisa that says, Chisa's alive, without a body. And when Lane asks her why she died, she responds, God is here. So, that's pretty crazy. pretty soon, that interaction with Chisa generates an interest in Lane to want to upgrade her computer. You see her having an interest in that. Then, you see her on a train, and as she's on that train, there's an accident where someone dies. As she's going home, there's a huge mist and fog. I think that's clouding her perceptions. She sees the ghost of a dead girl and then other faces. And then she receives a message that she should come to the Wired as soon as she can. And that message is delivered on a chalkboard in the classroom. And she then experiences seeing an image of the deceased girl, Chisa, again. In layer two girls, Lane still wants to upgrade her computer. And then we're introduced to a place called Cyberia, spelled Cyberia. And a drug called Excella. And it looks like a bug, but it's actually a piece of computer technology. And it seems to accelerate things, but it also makes them seem slower. And it's a processor that Lane later uses in a computer, but that processor is known as Psyche. So I'm getting a little ahead of myself. This particular one is a drug that people take so that they can have accelerated experience of reality. Now, Lane's sister mentions in this episode that she has an imaginary friend, but I'm actually thinking the imaginary friend is herself. I'm not thinking it's the godlike character we meet later. Again, I'm jumping ahead of myself, but I tend to do that. Doesn't matter. Time doesn't exist. Anyway, so Excella, when it's consumed, triggers multiple vibrations, making the brain's operational capacity 2 to 12 times its regular functionality. The actual trigger is a nanomechanism that has the brain release a specific hormone, triggering the capacity to accelerate the experience of consciousness in reality within a human form. Now, after we get to Siberia, see someone messing with Excella, we see that Lane sees shadows form in the light and then dissipate, and she becomes afraid. In the same episode, she gets a new computer, which is called a Navi, which is for navigation. It's fully loaded. Her father sets up the initial version. Lane then gets invited by Alice to Siberia, and Siberia is in a basement, which is, you see them going in, it's like a descent into hell or the underworld. Someone who's freaking out on Excella starts shooting in the club, and then you see the, you know, officers putting the laser scope on him. Actually, that part is wrong. He puts the laser scope on Lane, and Lane keeps approaching him, and he doesn't pull the trigger, and she says to him, "No matter where you go, everyone is connected." And then he kills himself. And then we get to layer 3, which is Psyche. And as I mentioned, Psyche's a drug. But Lane gets to, you know, gets her computer upgraded. She has a Psyche. Arisu, who I think is Alice, I think her name also means love, and she seems to be like one of the few people who actually cares about Lane. But again, we'll get into that later. Meaning, I think like she's one of the few people who actually loves Lane. Anyway. So Lane gets her new Navi, which is for navigation. Navigating through realities, which are layers of the one singularity expressing itself through not only myriad forms, but in an array of ways within a given form. And forms of light are vital to Lane because they cue her absence and presence in the physical world, particularly her consciousness and its absence and presence in the physical world. She's also being followed and stalked. And there's a voice that is speaking to Lane. And Lane obtains the Psyche from an anonymous source. And Psyche can alter the power of a Navi to reach far beyond its limitations. And here it's implied that navigation becomes far easier to do if the Psyche is utilized. And that's interesting because clearly Psyche is mind, and yet consciousness and its connection to mind is expressed in the acceleration of the navigator via the obtaining of Psyche. So Lane also begins to hear people's wayward thoughts, and throughout this whole thing, like even when her father set up her new computer, her new Navi, I personally was thinking that maybe she was being watched by shadow organizations or the government, because her father is actually a black ops scientist for the government, and that her arrival at Siberia was to find out about Excella so that somehow she could obtain the Psyche. And, you know, when she goes somewhere, Siberia again, someone claims that he saw her in The Wired. Then you see her configuring the Navi, and it's awkward because she's never had an interest in developing her computer at all. She was almost practically computer illiterate when she got this top of the line computer. And then we enter layer 4, which is entitled Religion. I think that's interesting. If you know the origins of the word, it's religare, which means to bind. You can Google that. I think it's R-E-L-I-G-A-R-E or some shit like that. Anyway, Lane's parents react to her computer building poorly. And it's a reaction that's akin to seeing an experiment gone too far. Then they cut into these weird scenes where you see a man running from a phantom of a little girl. She's his gotcha, and it's implied that he dies. And suicides are said to be happening. And it seems that all the deaths are related. And that's because all the deceased participated in a game on The Wire called Phantoma. Then they cut to a scene in Siberia where Lane... You hear her voice speaking to a character called JJ, but when he turns to see her, she's not there. And I think the implication is that there's a splitting of material and immaterial realities. And I think that that occurs in Lane because the experience that that character's having as it relates to having a form and a non-form, so to speak, relates to Philip K. Dick's idea of VALIS, the Vast Active Living Intelligence System. And pretty much, VALIS is something that can be experienced but not explained. It can be pointed to but never discussed, because the layers and levels of complexity are so vast that they simply are. There's no critically breaking them down to their finer properties, because there are always more refined properties. It's like the macro and the micro. If you go all the way out and you come all the way in from the smallest to the largest and back again, they just begin to reflect each other. And the way that they reflect each other is via light. So the various gradients of light constitute the constructs of what we see, both as ourselves and as the reality outside of ourselves. So that's some complicated shit. But anyway, so pretty much what's real and what's not real begins to become more and more blurred. And one scene following the JJ interaction, we see Lane appearing as a being of light while she's watching someone trapped in an illusion kill someone in the real world. And again, things become questionable as to what is illusion and what's real. We see her in front of her computer, and her father says that she should remember that the real world is separate from The Wired. But Lane says that she will soon be able to translate herself into it, meaning The Wired. Then you see Lane, after her father leaves, look out of a window, and you see a red dot similar to the one in the incident in Siberia with the boy on Excella. You see it on Lane. And then Lane, she looks at the soldiers who are outside with the headsets on, and she screams and the headsets break. Alright, we're coming to the end. Layer 5. I'll do the other 7 to 8 layers for next week, although I might do it relatively quickly. But we go into layer 5 distortion. Now, in layer 5, a disembodied voice claims bodies aren't necessary, that it is God, and that human beings have ceased to evolve, but that the network and the wired are able to create an escape from a flesh-driven bodily existence on Earth. And you just hear this voice, and Lane's hearing this voice, but you don't see a form with the voice. Then we see that Lane is conversing with a doll, whom she asks to tell her a story. And when a doll is like, what type of story? She says, tell her something she does not know. The doll replies that she cannot tell Lane a story that does not exist. And I think the implication there is she can't tell Lane a story that does not exist because she can't tell her something she does not already know. And the implication is that on a conscious level, she might not be aware of much, but unconsciously, because she's both the source and the experience of the source, she knows everything, so she doesn't need to know anything. And she can't tell her something she doesn't know, because ultimately, in some way, shape, or form, on some level, she knows it. And, of course, then we see Lane standing in traffic, her face to be, you know, appears on a huge television screen on a building. All things are connected. In a bizarre dream sequence, Lane's mother explains to her that the wire can be considered an upper-tier physical reality because physical reality and its properties are holographic. Basically, that it's all an illusion. So, you know, there's a book out there called The Holographic Universe. There's been discussions based on quantum physics about what the nature of reality is, how the observer has an effect on what is observed and influences what is observed. But the thing is, really, what if the observer and what they're observing were both one thing anyway? Like, really, dark and light, heads and tails, they really don't exist without the other. They only exist in a relationship. Like, in a world that is dominated by duality, it's hard to understand and appreciate the aspects of one thing without acknowledging the other side of that thing. But the other side isn't a different thing. It's just the other side of it. You're not going to be able to differentiate between colors if they're all the same thing. Even though wavelength-wise or spectrum-wise, technically, I believe that they are. Because ultimately, the presence of a color is merely its absence in the wave spectrum of that particular object. So that's what you notice. You're noticing the absence of a color, not a presence. So when you call something blue, you're really saying it's not blue at all. That the only thing it isn't is blue. So when you say my favorite color is blue, you're really saying my favorite not color is blue. Meaning the one not in the wave spectrum. So differentiation comes into play when you have dualities interacting. And ultimately, you can't experience anything without duality, because what's hot and cold, they're connected. You don't know one without the other. One without the other doesn't have an existence of its own. They're the same shared existence, just different experiences of that same existence, but they're still that same existence. It doesn't matter the infinite variety of experiences. None of them could exist without duality, because duality lets you know hard from soft, good from bad. You can't have one without the other in on this level of being. So, I think for an anime that's going to be 20 years old next summer, Serial Experiments Lane is fucking awesome. You should fucking watch it. Coveth the shit. Nah, man. Yeah. The shit. No, seriously, it is ridiculously good. And when I say that, I fucking mean it. You can interpret it, view it, understand it, dissect it, regurgitate it in whatever way, shape, or form float your boat. The shit you've heard me just say is, you know, a lot of my take on it. Like, I just feel like it has a weird sense to it. Like I was saying before, a knife can't cut itself. Fire can't burn itself. A wind can't blow itself away. And for any of you familiar with Alan Watts, you might have heard him say something similar, but it conveys that quintessential concept of, okay, can fire burn itself? Maybe some of you out in the world are aware that fire can do that, but I don't think fire knows itself as fire. We know it as fire. Fire being itself has no awareness of itself as being experienced by others, which is how we experience and know fire. But we don't know fire. And if we knew fire, we wouldn't know how we knew anyway. Because being is simply itself. Knowing consciously has limitations, but I feel like the way energy is exchanged electromagnetically and otherwise, and that flow, it's immediately harnessed via overlapping points in your conscious awareness that gets glimpsed. It's like old video games with those save points. When you save it, you're literally just saving at that point. Everything up to that point, you didn't technically save. You saved up to that point. Now, you get a series of these points overlapping and coming together, and it's an immediate knowing or awareness that acts intuitively and forgoes the lack of the capacity of the brain to reflect consciously this greater awareness, but it allows you to still harness this greater awareness via those save points within the spectrum of consciousness that I was talking about. Because again, it goes back to the billions of energy units that form a single organism, like a human being, and this organism generates thoughts. And it cannot look at its own face. Your face is directed outward at the world. And you are the observer. And what you observe, you help create. But at the same time, there's multiple versions of you within your own lifetime. Like you as a child, you as a baby, you as an adult. They're all you, and yet none of them is you. Only the you that is current is you. Your memory of a you that you were is not you. It's a memory of who you thought you were. And you only had that knowledge of who you thought you were in relationship to the existences and thoughts and behaviors of others. So that construct is a relative construct of who you imagine yourself to be. But actual knowledge of yourself, true knowledge of yourself, is beyond you. Which is why you must just be yourself, because that's the only way you can truly experience yourself outside of relativity. So, those are my thoughts on Serial Experiments Lane. I think it's fucking really awesome. I'm gonna come back with Serial Experiments Lane 2. And you know, it's the holiday season. Watch out for traffic. It's the most depressing month of the year. Anyone who knows about statistics, and I won't go into them, but you know, the same behavior that Chisa Yamada engaged in, without the supernatural element of The Wired and without all this metaphysical goo-ga that I'm talking about. It's just straight up, it's a sad time of year for a lot of people. It's a dangerous time of year in terms of driving. So, be safe. Thank you for listening. All that type of good shit. Enjoy your life while you can. And, hey, have fun with this shit, man. Don't take it so fucking seriously. You know? I know they say you only have one life, some people do. But even within a single life, you have many lives. And who truly knows what's to come after? I mean, you might have an inkling of it because, in a way, you're kind of creating it. Anyway, hasta la pasta. Take care. Arrivederci. Bye-bye.